Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and we're going to be talking about sleep in the first half hour with Brad King. And in the second half hour, we're going to be talking about inflammation and some of the foods that can really help you deal with inflammation. But before we do that, here's Rich with the health news.
Life begins at 40, and the best is yet to come may be encouraging, but untrue. A small new study suggests people make the most important memories of their lives by the time they're 25. Researchers asked 34 people aged 59 to 92 to recount their life stories and found they tended to focus on life transitions such as marriage and having children that occurred between ages 17 and 24. All of the participants were white, and 76% had earned at least an undergraduate degree. The findings about this reminiscence bump in early adulthood were published online recently in the journal Memory. A new study suggests obese women get just 1 hour of vigorous exercise a year, while obese men don't do much better at fewer than 4 hours. The findings startled the researchers, whose main focus was finding better ways to measure how much exercise people get. One expert did note the definition of vigorous exercise was very limited in the study, and the researchers themselves acknowledged the device used to track physical activity did not measure swimming or biking very well. In the new study, researchers examined the results of a 2005-2006 government survey of adults aged 20 to 74. Among other things, the survey tracked the weight, diet, and sleep patterns of nearly 2,600 adults. Accelerometer devices were used to track their movements, providing insight into how much they exercised. The study defined vigorous exercise as activities that burn fat, like jogging and jumping rope, but not sexual activity. The study appeared recently in the Mayo Clinic Proceedings. Low iron levels can raise your risk of stroke by making your blood more sticky, a new study indicates. Investigators looked at data from nearly 500 people with a rare hereditary disease that caused them to have enlarged blood vessels in the lungs. Typically, blood vessels in the lungs don't allow clots to enter the arteries. But in these patients, clots can escape the lungs, travel to the brain, and cause a stroke. Those who had an iron deficiency had stickier platelets, which are small blood cells that trigger clotting when they stick together, and were more likely to suffer a stroke, according to the researchers at Imperial College London in the UK. Even those with moderately low levels were about twice as likely to suffer a stroke as those with iron levels in the middle of the normal range, according to the study published February 19th in the journal PLOS ONE. And finally, new research findings suggest chronic stress over time creates changes in the brain, which might be helpful in explaining how long-term high stress levels can make sufferers more prone to mood disorders and anxiety later in life. The research team found through a series of experiments on rats that chronic stress generates more myelin-producing cells and less neurons than normal. That results in an excess of myelin and, as such, more white matter in some areas of the brain, which then disrupts the delicate balance and timing of communication with the brain. The team has published its study in the journal Molecular Psychiatry.
Well, our first guest, Brad King, has done considerable research on the effects of stress on the body. He's a nutritional researcher and a performance nutritionist and one of Canada's most sought-after authorities on nutrition. He's got a number of books, and today we're going to be talking about sleep with Brad. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me again.
Well, let's talk about that last news article about stress and the effects on the body. How does that, go along with what you've discovered about stress?
You know, absolutely. We've known about various brain dysfunctions or dysfunctional metabolism to do with the brain and brain cells for a very long time in association to stress. And one of the things that we have to understand is our perception of our environment always equals our reality in terms of what the body is going to produce in a way to help us or to protect us. I mean, that's the end goal. The body doesn't just develop cancer overnight just for the heck of it. There's a very big series of events that has to take place for something like cancer to form in the body, and it's no different for mental decline or for people that have Alzheimer's disease. This is not an overnight issue. There are changes that take place in the brain, either negative or positive, because of the way we perceive leave our environment. And stress just happens to be one of those things that really has a very damaging but very accumulative type of effect on the body and the brain. And one of the things that it does, and we've known this for a very long time, is it affects things like our memory centers. It destroys an area of the brain called the hippocampus, where we produce hippocampal neurons, and those are the actual brain cells that are responsible for forming our memory. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why when you're highly stressed out, you can't remember, you know, where you put your car keys or maybe where you left your wife. I mean, there's, you know, so many things. We can joke about it, but it's a very serious matter. And I think, you know, to just shrug it off as, oh, well, that's just part of our life and that's just part of the world that we live in, I think we're only looking for problems that way. We really need to address, number one, why are we creating that amount of stress within ourselves? And number two, we have to wake up to the reality that it really is us, and we're the ones that are responsible for how we're reacting to that environment, and whether we're going to look at it as, wow, this is really stressful and out of control, or, hey, you know, this is just one more thing that I have to deal with, and I understand that.
You know, we talk a lot about in terms of, you know, what people can do about stress and how they can manage it. Are there supplements that can really help people deal with stress?
Absolutely there are. I mean, I one of the first nutrients that I put out when I started my own company, because as you know, I've been formulating products for companies for close to 20 years now. And 10 years ago, when I decided to go on my own and create the Brad King Ultimate line, one of the first products that I created in that line was a product called Anti-Stress. And till this day, it still remains one of the top stress-relieving products that's available in Canada. And the only reason for that is not because we do, you know, tremendous marketing. We don't even do marketing for the product. It's word of mouth. It's people need a supplement in order to deal with excessive stress within their lives. And, you know, if we lived in a perfect world, Dave, where, you know, we were calm all the time and we had, you know, different types of chill out music playing in the background, or we took maybe a half hour or an hour break to do yoga or meditation or listen to things that are called binaural frequencies to really relax the brain, it would be okay. We wouldn't need any supplements. If we lived in a world where we ate the right foods that contained all the minerals and nothing was missing, we wouldn't need supplements. But that's not the reality. The reality is we're in this world that we're in. We're perceiving things as very stressful. We're not doing yoga every day. We don't have a yogi as a friend, or at least the majority of us don't, and many of us don't live on the ocean or on a mountaintop somewhere. So we need supplements, things that are called adaptogens. Adaptogens are nutrients like ashwagandha or rhodiola rosea or turmeric or valerian. These are things that can help the body relieve stress. It can help the body adapt to even higher stress loads without the body breaking down. And, you know, we put all of these ingredients and more into the formula called Anti-Stress because they work. And one of them is powerful. If you used, if you went into a store and just bought rhodiola, for instance, or just ashwagandha, you would probably be able to help yourself. But when you have a compilation of ingredients like ashwagandha and like rhodiola and valerian and adrenal extracts, I mean, you've got a powerful formula that can really help the majority of people.
You know, one of the things that seems to be increasing in today's society is, weak bladders or urinary issues, you know, either at night or during the day. Are there things that people can do about that? And
absolutely.
Is that stress-related?
You know, once again, the drug industry has been trying to market things to help this area, and they haven't succeeded in the least. There's really nothing out there that can greatly help people without, you know, also causing a series of very, powerful side effects. And, we have known, nature has known, and Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine, these medications, medicinal forms that have been around long before allopathic medicine or the medical model that we know of, they've been treating things like bladder issues with pumpkin seeds for many, many hundreds of years. And, you know, if you walk into a lot of health food stores nowadays, this is more for men because women don't really realize the power of pumpkin seeds. This has always been kind of marketed to the men's area because men understand that pumpkin seeds are very healthy for the prostate gland. And a lot of men have problems with their bladder because their prostate is swelling and it's pushing against the bladder and it's making a man feel like he has to go to the bathroom all the time. What we're not hearing is there's twice as many women that suffer from bladder issues and urinary issues over and above men. And obviously women don't have prostate glands, at least to the best of my knowledge. So there's something else that's going on with the majority of the people. And it's not really a bladder infection. You know, yes, women can walk into a store, as can men, and buy things like cranberry extract and probiotics for a bladder infection. But the majority of the time, it's a weakness of the actual bladder. The bladder is a muscle, and the muscle can atrophy. It can shrink just like any other muscle that's not used properly throughout the body. And this is one of the reasons why when we get older, the bladder tends to shrink and it leaks, or it holds on to less urine, which makes us feel like we have to go to the bathroom all the time. And it turns out that there's one kind of pumpkin seed that has been clinically proven to overcome this in almost every single case. It's a water-extracted and water-soluble form of pumpkin seed. And this is very important for people to understand because pumpkin seeds are fat-soluble. That's what the seed is. It's like a nut or a seed. Those are fat-soluble. But what happens is Japanese researchers have been able to extract the components of the seed, and we're talking about the fat components, but make them water-soluble, meaning they're able to displace very easily within water, and they get into the cells very quickly. What they seem to do is they strengthen the actual bladder. They get to the root of the problem so that people don't have to feel like they have to go to the bathroom all the time. Women swear by this. There's research, clinical human research, showing that it helps women's bladder in a very, very quick period of time. It also helps a man's bladder. A man can take something like an ultimate bladder control, which is the only water-soluble pumpkin seed extract that I'm aware of on the market right now for bladder issues. And they can go in and take something like Ultimate Bladder Control, even with a prostate-specific product. Or if a woman is dealing with, a woman's hormones issues, if she's on hormone replacement therapy, she can absolutely take something like the Ultimate Bladder Control, which is, once again, the water-extracted pumpkin seed. She can take that along with hormones, vitamins, medications, whatever. It's not going to interact negatively in any way, and it's only going to help.
Brad, we're going to take a quick break, but when I come back, I want to ask you a little bit more about stress and some of the effects of stress and what we can do about it.